You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and today we break down Manchester City and the road to the fifth title in 6 years and third straight overall. We'll also talk Arsenal and look at their season, success or bottle job, and a look at a couple of key relegation matches this weekend. All right, Robbie Earl, we have a champion. We have Manchester City again. I think we realised after the last couple of weeks it was going to happen. Yeah. It happened pretty quickly this weekend.
Yeah.
Three on the spin, five out of six. I guess like next season the story will be that no team, we don't think, we're getting research check, it's ever won four top flight titles on the bounce.
Yeah.
Strange kind of game today, but it wasn't really about the game today, Rob, was it? It was kind of about what they've done, and we're going to just spend a little bit of time talking about City and how they've done it.
Yeah, I think, you know, over the course of a season, I think Manchester City fans might think we haven't had time to give them enough credit or spent enough time on them. So pretty much going to dedicate this podcast ahead of the Championship Sunday next week to the champions, to Manchester City, on what they've done, how they've done it, consequences to some Premier League charges that hang over the football club. And then really, what do we see? What do we think of the future? But we have to start today, Rob, and in a team that wasn't necessarily about X's and O's and structure and team. It was a team that had many players who hadn't thought. I think it made five changes, Pep, in the side. Rico Lewis coming, Cole Palmer started, Alvarez started, Calvin Phillips got his first Premier League start. It was really interesting to hear him after the game. But they continue to do what they do, Rob. They win the football match. And if there's one person who epitomises what Pep's brought to this football club, I thought it was Phil Foden today. I thought he was outstanding. In a game that sort of didn't matter, in a game that Chelsea are not, you know, playing anywhere near their potential and they can't wait for the end of the season. I thought Phil Foden ran, his football intelligence, his passing, his movement, his desire to get the ball back. And I said to Bex, I'm not sure if in his mind he's decided, I'm going to make it into the FA Cup final team. I want to make it into the Champions League team. But it was almost like he was extra motivated in exactly what Pep does. Whenever a change comes in their team, somebody comes in and hits the ground running and plays 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but it's not just him, was it? It was so many others that have come into the side that are not part of the first 11, and the probable best first 11.
Yeah.
Julian Alvarez, Rob, was a player that I thought about. He comes on and scores a goal, or he comes on, he starts the game, scores a goal, looks bright, looks sharp, can play up front, can play in different spots. And I don't know whether it's the same situation with Phil Foden, but I'm sat there looking at him thinking he's such a good Premier League forward with experience, with a blooming World Cup champion. Does he get fed up? And does Phil Foden get fed up?
Yeah.
And does some of the other players? I know that they're rotated so often that maybe they feel like they're still going to play a lot of minutes and they're still got a chance to be a regular, one of his favourites, if you like. Because Jack Grealish is now one of those. Another Walker's been in there.
And now he's out a little bit.
So as long as Pep keeps those thoughts in the players' heads, then maybe they're happy to stay on. But Alvarez, does he start to get fed up of being on the bench all the time?
That's a really good question. And I think Beck's sort of touched somewhere on it today in terms of, you know, do they get fed up? I think because of the success, because of Pep said this week, there's something special in that happening at this football club. I don't think, Rob, you want to kind of cause a problem. Because Cancelo was a bit of an issue. Guess what? Out of the football club.
If you don't like it. Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, Raheem Sterling started to think. Yeah, and off you pop. I've talked about the pet poke. He'll give you a little poke if he needs to, just to keep you on your toes. And the other thing that I saw today that was really interesting. So Manchester City, when they won the title, all the ancillary staff, there must have maybe been 100-odd people, as well as players, who got medals, who were part of the celebration. I thought it was really well done. There was a time when Pep went down the line with every player, every person, and not necessarily players. And it was one of those where I saw him a couple of times, and I thought, everybody he looks at looks like they're special. He treats him as though everybody was special, and that's a gift, by the way.
But also the other side of it. They're there waiting for the flipping, the man to come and get their hug or their high five or whatever. Yeah. So I think it works the other way as well.
And
I think everybody at the club realised.
By him, this is a special guy. Yeah. But that special thing is important. Because I think as a player, Rob, we all love to play for managers who make you feel good and special and appreciate, you know, Robbie, you know, they're going to make the runs forward, but you're going to hold in there. And I'll do my job. You know, they say, you know, my gaffer would say to me sometimes, sit in, do us a good job in midfield. We don't need you bomb forward. As long as you do that and you win, you think the boss has got my back. I think Pep's brilliant at that with players because you're right. These are top class international players who go to any other team in the Premier League and they're starters. Mm. So he's got to have a way of making sure everybody stays motivated, even when you don't get many minutes. And Calvin Phillips was a really interesting one as well. He talked about how low in confidence he was, probably the lowest he's been in his career, being out of the team. He's played at Leeds, he's the main man, he's an England international. Yeah, he's come to a football club where he's had to earn his stripes.
Pep said he couldn't really play in that midfield role, which is kind of true, but fair play to the player and Pep. He's got other attributes, and they've been incredibly important. Mm. He won't ever come inside and be a great playmaker like, well, we've seen Trent at Liverpool now, or John Stones, or other players. But he can still be a very useful with his pace as well against Real Madrid. I think when you look at from today, Rob, moving it kind of on a little bit.
Yeah.
We saw the bench. It is a crazy. Yeah. It was a crazy bench, isn't it? Because most of the most important
strongest
players
bench
had a rest
in Premier League history.
And there's a good time to rest them.
They've
got games coming up. Yeah. They've got midweek games coming up. So it's a really good time to rest them. If you look at the whole squad, I think it's obviously the core of the main first 11.
Yeah.
You've got the Alvarezes and the Fodens at the moment and other players that are on the periphery. Then you've still got the little local players.
Yeah.
I think there was a tweet today that I read while the game was going on about, I think there was a number of players, three or four that grew up in the area.
Cole Palmer.
Phil Foden there.
Foden and Rico Lewis.
That's
and then
it.
A couple of, there was one on the bench. Yeah.
From
the academy, mate.
It's not just about... Listen, we know it's about money, and we'll touch it a little later. But it's not all about the money.
No.
And they have developed, and they have spent actually pretty what I'm thinking of Akanji. Like they spent not huge money on good players and made them better, but the academy and developing their own. So that's a really important part of it. And nobody wants to, you know, it gets a little bit ignored because of other things that overpower
hundreds
the
of
story.
Millions that they spend and all
but
that.
So there's three parts of the squad, and he never has a big squad. No. And that squad, for the most part, stays fit, which is another part of incredible how. What's he got injuries now? One?
Yeah.
So it's
But it's also interesting, it's a really good point, that he allows space for those academies. Well, you can have a great academy, but nobody's getting in.
Yeah, he always allows space
He allows space for his squad.
Same with Barcelona, I remember.
You know, there's a step. And those academy players and the academy staff know if you're performing at a decent level, you'll get a first-team opportunity.
Right. Let's cut to how this happened for them. Right?
Okay.
Where did it change? Because there was a moment in time where I'm like, Arsenal going to win this. You know, City didn't look quite on it. Now we can target around the World Cup phase.
World Cup change,
the other day I thought about, Rob, as a potential moment where things change is when Rico Lewis did a great job coming into midfield and we all raved about him. Mm. Then there was a period where they had a few bad results and Rico Lewis looked like he struggled a little bit. Remember that little period?
Yeah.
I feel that's the time when Pep put in Nathan Ake.
Yeah.
Regularly.
Yeah.
And it went to this four centre backs plus Rodri.
Yeah.
It went to four centre backs with Akanji, Ake, Diaz, Stones. Stones obviously doing that job into there. But he went from, you know, Cancelo or Rico Lewis to a back four of centre backs. And from that moment, I think that their results were great. We talked about, or I certainly mentioned the balance and how I liked it a lot more, that there's more defensive minded players out there.
Yeah.
I thought that was one moment when. It was not Rico Lewis's fault.
No,
I just remember a few bad results. Maybe he got caught on the ball at one point. They're trying to play out. And Pep changed that.
Mm.
And he went with more defensive physicality. And I think that's where they haven't looked back.
I'll pinpoint the game where I think it was 2-0 down against Spurs. 1-4-2 in the end.
Was that
that
one?
Day when he called, and he also called them out, Flowers. And, you know, we weren't men. I thought that was a pivotal day when Pep did his poke and let the players know and let the fans know, don't expect anything unless we get back to what we are. I thought it was a big moment.
The financial fair play.
Financial fair play charges came. Similar time to that Spurs defeat.
Because, and then after that,
the only points they dropped was a 1-1 draw with Nottingham Forest since that time. But the financial fair play was an interesting, and we will talk about that as we get to the end of the podcast, because it is part of the story of Manchester City. But he used that, Rob, for the biggest siege mentality he could ever do. I also remember him saying, I have been told from the people upstairs, everything is fine, I am here. And it was like, right, I'm here, we're going to get on with business, and we're going to go and show people what they do. Because everybody at the time was talking about, oh, could this be the end of Pep? Might this be the way he gets out the back door and far from it in some respects? It's almost like spurred them on, Rob, to prove a point.
Mm. So, you know, I think that's a lot of those moments around the same time when they went on a run.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the ability now of season after season of discovering their best form for the last few months is like crazy, isn't it?
Mm.
Where others run out of steam. They go on with so much power and success.
But why is that, Rob?
I think I know why it is.
I was trying to think about it today.
Well, I think it's to do with the quality of the squad, and it's the continued rotation. It's the continued rotation. Ruben Dias didn't play a ton first half of the season. I don't know what he had. I think he might have had an injury problem. But certain players seem to come into the side for this last two or three months. He's one of them.
Yeah.
And it's like they get players ready. Like almost Pep's strategy is, we know this league, I know it really well now.
Yeah.
It's hard to be strong late. And others, not always, Liverpool did it, of course. And Liverpool almost pushed them. They pushed them right to the end. But City's times, flipping the last 10, 12 games. Mm. It's usually like they win every one.
Yeah.
And don't you think it's to do with the way that through the season, we always say about his team, gosh, change it again. It's two or three changes every single week where certain players get rotated out. And maybe that's why there's very few injuries, and that's why at the back end of the season, they're primed, ready to go. I mean, it's crazy, Rob, how they find their best stuff when they really need it.
Yeah, it's a good point to make, and you talk about rotation. I think it's to do with the quality of the rotation, because I think other teams could rotate, but the problem is
Arsenal haven't got that depth.
Liverpool haven't really got, in certain areas, the depth to rotate in the way that City can. That sets them apart. Yeah.
So Liverpool exhausted themselves last year. And some Liverpool fans might say, you know what, we just couldn't find it this season until recently. They've obviously got better, but that, I mean, that's an Arsenal. Like when we did when Arsenal were playing so well, they were flat out to stay with City, and they went behind in many games and came back and won it. And it was the same team, the same lineup, and Sully, but the whole team could go through the side, and of course they missed a couple of players. And they run out of steam late, where Pep's teams didn't, because everybody gets rested.
How though, Rob?
They still win.
I agree with the rotation and all that. How? And I think I have the answer. I don't know if we'll be on the same place. How does he keep that hunger and drive and desire? These are all multimillionaires. Many who've won 3, 4, 5 Premier League titles now, and domestic cups, and will be in a Champions League final, and all these things. So we saw Manchester United and played against the Manchester United era, where it was a similar kind of dominance, and their hunger came from Scottish guy in charge who did all kinds of things, who had all kinds of ways of making sure this team delivered. And he changed his team at times, Rob, every now and then. He used to change his backroom staff. He'd make sure he'd keep this thing going.
Mm.
Pep does it in a slightly different way, I would say. I don't think it's exactly the same, but the drive and the hunger comes through him.
I think so.
And I'll tell you what, I'll give you one example that will stand with me all season, is at 2-0 against Leeds United, who weren't particularly great, Sam's first game and all that stuff, and Erling Haaland passes the ball to Ilkay Gundogan and says, go and get yourself a hat-trick.
Oh, yeah.
And Pep Guardiola went ballistic at Haaland for giving it up, for Gundogan for taking it and missing, and then shook hands with neither of them and let them know that this is about full on. It's full on every week. Mm. And the other thing that I meant to say today in the broadcast, before I let you in the 7 years he's been in charge now, I think, really can't remember a showboating moment. Somebody who's kind of, you know, took somebody on and patted them on the head or nutmegged somebody and had a laugh. And they play brilliant football. They, you know, the old lays have started from the fans because of how they play. But I've never seen anything that even goes remotely close to showboating, gimmicky about the person. That, I'm telling you, Rob, because we've all been there. We've all been, you know, 3-0 up and you think, well, you know, I'll do a little bit here. Not in Pep's team.
100%. In every single team.
Yeah.
So when you're saying that, I'm thinking back to his Barcelona team, which I saw. I watched them every single week. Yeah. I worked on the league. And it's the same thing, even with Lionel Messi. There's no flicks and tricks and all with that Barcelona team that have got the talent to do that. There's nothing of that. Messi, epitome, it was never overdone. Yeah. And same thing with this team. There's never going to be back flicks and skills and laughing and joking and keeping the ball up and all that. Yeah. It doesn't exist because of him. It's because of his crazy motivation and love for the sport that he keeps everybody on it. Mm. I mean, that's got to be it, Rob, isn't it? But the amount of stuff that he's won over a period of time, you know, I look at him on the sideline, and when a player, any moment he's coaching flat out 100%, and he's absolutely in it. I just don't think we've seen
point.
That
it's
from
many. It's a good
many.
Point, mate. So, but wasn't there a time, no, not this season, a couple of seasons where people went, God, that must wear you out. After a while, you can only do that for so long, and it must wear players out. We've never got that, though. We've never really had burnout, have we?
What, the players don't get fed up of his energy?
Yeah, like him burning them out and keep on driving for more. Because that's difficult, ain't it? We have here, you know, everyone seems to have, you know, Pochettino, he's gone as far as he can, and he can't keep doing that anymore, you know. Conte can only work in 2 or 3 year cycles, then you can't keep driving it anymore.
No.
He's been able to find a way to sustain that somehow.
Do you think that's to do with the football that they play?
Yeah.
Because if you're on his team,
I
mean, it's got to be enjoyable, Rob, isn't it?
It's got to be enjoyable. Part of the week.
Well, you got options, people are comfortable, if you play like a Mourinho team or a Conte team, or even Liverpool's flat out. The nature of that, the nature of those teams to be successful, is either really, really hard or not particularly enjoyable.
It's demanding without possibly some of the enjoyment.
Right, right. Because enjoyment, and this is where our insight, I think, would help, is that, and we've both been on the other side of it, Rob, where we've been in teams with grinding. Mm. Not fun.
Yeah.
Not fun. Not fun to have.
Even when you win, it's not great.
It's not great.
It's
job done. It's just relief.
Got the points and you're shattered.
It's not relief. And then I go into training and we play a small side of games. Yeah. I enjoy it. I have fun. Yeah. Play little combinations, you score a few goals. But Saturdays was about grinding. So that not to have that, I mean, it's a big deal. And it's nice to have the ball. And it's minging if you haven't got the ball and you're running around trying to chase the ball all the time. So I think that would help the players that, you know, have to go again and again and again. Yeah. It's kind of fun to be in this team where some games you win at a canter. I think another thing I think we should just touch on, Rob, is what makes Pep different and special and what he's done this season to Man City. Because I think we know about the false nine.
Yeah.
We know that was a change, Erling Haaland, right? Yeah. And we haven't talked about him, but obviously his contribution has been
incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The system change.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen system changes now in football that and this has happened multiple times, everybody's copying it.
Yeah.
And the big one this year was, and we saw it last year, Rob, at moments when Cancelo would go into midfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was on the right would do it. Walker kind of did it a little bit.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great.
But it was a fullback. But this year, he's taken it to a new dimension where as soon as you kick off, really, well, there's the shape.
Yeah.
And when we do our little lineups before the game, we're like, to our research, we might as well put it in a three.
Yeah.
Because
it really is
a three.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was different. Stones from right back, well, four centre backs is different. Stones playing at right back going into the midfield, of course. But also, Stones at centre back.
Yeah,
going into midfield. It's different.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, why should it be the right back that goes into midfield? Yeah. It kind of makes more sense if the centre back
goes in there. Got possession.
So Stones did that. Yeah. All these little changes and different things, it's all from Pep Guardiola and the way that his brain works and the way that he wants to get an advantage on the opponents of possession and outnumber them. I mean, that sets him apart for me, Rob. Mm. If we're going to go real big picture on Pep, it would be his tactical mind.
Yeah.
And it's motivation.
We've
talked about his motivation.
It's
tactical genius.
Yeah.
And there might be people out there that like, oh, you know, Pep this and... But and tactics are not that... You know, some people don't believe that tactics are that important. He's so clever in devising a plan to be successful.
And it's a plan, because I heard him talking this week. I was doing a bit of research. I heard him talking about he wants to keep challenging the opposition so people don't know
What to expect.
Right. So how are you going to set up? How are you going to train? How are you going to think they're going to play? And it's really interesting, Rob. So the big quote, remember when he first came in English football, will Pep change the Premier League or the Premier League change Pep? Answer is, Pep hasn't changed the Premier League. Pep's changed English football. I've watched League One and League Two games, Rob, where people are playing inverted fullbacks.
Are they? And playing out from the back.
From
the goalkeeper.
Big ish statement now, and you know, some fans and listeners may think, yeah, what is he talking about? Earl's on something. In a generation's time, in 10 to 15 years, there's going to be young coaches who are going to be disciples of the game, and they're going to have learnt their coaching and taken the thread from Pep Guardiola. Just like Johan Cruyff was talked about, just like Bielsa is held in great regard by people from the South American region and you know, maybe some of the great Italian coaches. Pep Guardiola has given...
Saki would be one
with that 4-4-2 and the setup in his Milan teams. But Pep Guardiola's ability to look at football from a different point of view is going to help young coaches, where we've both done the coaching badges in... You know, this is what you do, and this is what it's very structured and staid, and you have to. Pep Guardiola said, "Well, we can do this different, and it's going to benefit English football and English coaches."
I absolutely agree. I thought you were going to say something like, you know, one of the leading. I mean, he is, isn't he? When you think about the leading names in English British football, you think of Shankly and Paisley and Busby. Yeah. Sir Alex Ferguson. I think he's one of those. He's one of those giants. He's a giant of the game. And just back on the style, I guess it goes back to Spanish style. That Spanish national team of 2012, what it was, won the World Cup, they won the Euros. That tiki taka. But as we've watched,
it's way more than that
in terms of penetration and strategies to penetrate. Because it's never been about just keeping
just
the ball to him.
Yeah.
And it continues to evolve, Rob. And this City team now going forward, you know, it's difficult to know how it could get better, but it probably is going to get better. Let's talk about the big man up front. Let's talk about big man Erling Haaland up front. Broken records this year. I still feel there's a lot
There's a bit more to come, which is a frightening bit. I said today on air, the frightening bit is at 22 years of age, 36 goals this season. His input in the team can get better. His craft around.
I think his runs, his intelligence, his chemistry with the team.
Yeah, can grow. Yeah. And, you know, at the moment we're seeing, you know, low number of touches, high return goals. He can have more touches, be more involved, and still get more goals for this team. Mm.
Yeah. What are the. So the treble is obviously the big thing now.
Yeah. Manchester United are going to go all out, by the way. I almost feel that the FA Cup might be more difficult than the Champions League. And I know that might sound strange. Manchester United and their fans and that club are going to do everything they can to stop Man City winning the treble. Yeah. Every single thing they can.
Yeah. Yeah, and City will be aware of that. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be in perfect condition for it, Rob.
People are going to be rested, aren't they?
They're given just the right amount of football that they need. Mm. I think there'll still be a lot of football. He's not going to wrap up players now.
Absolutely.
I think today was a great... It made a lot of sense to rest people today.
Yeah. They've got a game midweek, haven't they?
They've got another midweek game, and then the weekend.
And then you get a week's work into that, and a following week Champions League.
If they do it, Rob, and they do win this treble, let's get to that point now where people have been talking the last few days.
Yeah.
And I'm not a massive fan of these conversations about best team ever and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Where are we at? I think where we're at, when we're starting to talk about best teams ever, right, and then the Champions League's in it.
It has to be in it.
And it's in it. And Pep, to this point, this City team, we can say last year and the year before, whatever, when they've won it, this looks like the best team that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But until Man City win the Champions League, you can't put them up to the 99 team of Manchester United and other teams that have won that. But if they do get the treble, obviously it matches what Man United have done. Again, we've got to be so careful because I know the sensitivities of United fans, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember watching that Blimmin 99 final and the two goals super late. I feel like, right, and I'll say it, that City are doing it more dominantly.
Can do it in a different way. in a more appealing way. There's so much to admire about what United did, and again, we played against that United
many times,
so we know about
I love
them,
that. I absolutely love that team.
Is they didn't know when they're beaten. That's the drive of the manager that won them that game. They were getting battered, right. By the way, by them. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Battered. And you know, they find a way, they get the goals, you know, Teddy and Ollie, and brilliant night. And it all comes from the guy who's on the side of the pitch. This Manchester City can do it in a different way. Manchester City, let me tell you what, and again, I'm not just saying it, the Premier League is a harder league to win now than it was when Man United. There are better teams in the Premier League than there was, mate. I'm telling you now.
Difficult.
I know it's difficult to say, yeah. But the lower teams in the Premier League are nowhere near the quality of the teams we've got now.
Yeah, because of the money available.
The money, the quality of player, the coaches. Yeah. It's harder to get that. And that doesn't demean that. Manchester United did what they had to do at that time, and were brilliant. Mm. We're absolutely
brilliant.
I just
can't remember that United team, and we played against them a ton. Find it as easy to win matches as Man City do. Mm. And the points totals in that, Rob. So
yeah.
If you're saying the league is harder now, I mean, I didn't think Man United were getting 90-odd points, were they?
You could win 80s, late 70s and 80s, yeah.
Yeah, so the dominance of this team is what's impressive. And the style, I like the style. Others might not like it. There's been, over the last couple of years, Rob, some people think City are boring to watch. It's slow. And I get that. Mm. Everybody's got their own opinion on that.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
Critical,
I happen to love the possession stuff and the style of that. And not just them, by the way. The other week, Brighton. I love Brighton's performance against Arsenal. Same kind of style that I particularly enjoy. So that's why, for me, if they do get the three, I'm like, wow, this feels
right there,
better. Feels better watching them. The numbers, the style, the dominance, the ease of victories.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that's
I
just
mean, they've taken the ball to another level. The amount of times, the multiple goals, like, I mean, it's hundreds of times they've scored three.
Yeah.
60-odd times they scored four, 50-odd times they scored five. And, you know, those kind of numbers, mate, United weren't doing. United were beating you, but United weren't doing those kind of numbers in that style.
Let's talk about money.
Yeah.
Let's talk about money. And there's people out there that think that Pep Guardiola always gets the best clubs, always gets the clubs that can spend more money than anybody else, they get the best players. Mm. This is what should happen when you're in that position.
Yeah.
So before we get to the financial fair play bit, what do you say to that? What do you say to what he should win all these titles? He should be in for trebles because they spend a ton of money, and that's why Pep's doing what he's doing.
Chelsea has spent a ton of money. Where's that going?
All right. I'll add to that. Manchester United has spent a lot of money over the last few seasons. Mm,
yeah.
Where's that got them?
Yeah.
Everton has spent different, but Everton has spent a lot of money, and they're miles worse situation.
Yeah. Yes.
So I don't think this accurate thing. I mean, of course, it's a stronger team.
Let me talk about two players, Rob, who were available, who've made a massive difference, and you talked about the top of the show. Akanji.
Yeah.
Late in the deadline, for not, I don't know, maybe 30 million or something from Dortmund. His contract was up.
Is that mid to late 20s?
I mean, could go in any. Man United would kill for him. Arsenal would kill for him. Chelsea would kill for him. He was available, Rob. Man City got him. Nathan Ake. Yeah. He's at Bournemouth. Yeah, good centre half, you know, well respected Premier League centre half. Was available. Anyone could have taken him. City do. Mm. Comes in their team, makes a difference. So, yes, we know the Haalands and the Jack Grealishes and those big money players. Mm. But there's also been one or two clever little ones that were out there for everybody, by the way.
Yeah. And he still gets the environment.
Yeah.
The team aspect, the synergy of bringing those players and making them better together as a team, the spirit, everything else that we've talked about. So I just think that he's such a special coach.
Yeah.
That he's got a lot of good players, but you know, I mean, with Bernardo Silva, remember, was it Monaco he was at? Like, it's not as though they went and get all the best players.
Gundogan.
They spent like 50, 60 million, wasn't it, was their kind of sweet spot. Cancelo, was it, and Walker and a few others. And a lot of money, but it's not as though they're going...
No.
Jack Grealish would be one of those that was a crazy lot of money.
Haaland, because of the, you know,
because
the fee.
Of his clause.
Yeah, the clause.
So on money, I want to go money, then I want to just go on some individuals after that with City.
Okay.
All right, so we know there's 115 charges from the Premier League, financial fair play, breaking the rules, exaggerating revenues and hiding. It's all alleged.
Alleged hiding.
Hiding of salaries
and fees and
all that kind of stuff.
That, yeah.
Now, That's the first thing that everybody's online.
Yeah, you know, well, anybody who's not City, who want to have a go at City, that's the first point of call.
Now, the first thing I want to say about that is this was UEFA banned them from European competition, and then they appealed to the Court of Arbitration of Sport, threw it out on a couple of... There's one that they found that the findings were actually not right.
Yeah.
And then the other part was the statute of limitations, going back more than 5 years of date or something. So they beat UEFA, I guess, once. Mm-hmm. So what are we thinking, Rob, on this? What should we... There is a cloud.
There's a shadow. There's a cloud. There's no doubt about it. And even, you know, we've whacked Liverpool. Right. We've celebrated. We've talked about. But there's another side.
Assuming that they're innocent. And they might have bent some rules a little bit, most have done.
Yeah.
But that's why we started with, they've been great. But let's chuck in the butt side of it.
Well, the butt side is, and it's really interesting, Rob, because as we both do, we've still got big connections in the UK. It's building steam in the UK, this case against them, and people are starting to talk about, you know, this isn't fair, what they've done and how they're doing it. And it's catching fire. It's only going to get bigger as things go on. Now, when you've got 115 charges, Rob, and every one of them has got to be exhausted to the nth degree to be proved or disproved...
They're over a long period of time,
We're talking lots of seasons. Yeah, over lots of seasons. But this could be 3, 4, 5 years before we know the outcome.
Why does it take so long, then?
Because every single charge has to be examined to the minute last part before that we can make decisions. We've got 115, over 100.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talking and a lot to do between two. So by the time this is done, Pep may be well gone. Half these players may be well gone with their medals now. And people will always say, well, it's because of the consequences of them not doing things in the correct manner is why they won those titles.
Right.
And then we're in a position.
Right.
It's not a good look for the Premier League. That the strongest club in your league has got these charges against them. It's just not a good look.
Call from the league
to do it. Now, are they prepared to go all the way along? And then, you know, in some respects, if I'm not saying anything's gone wrong at Newcastle at the moment, anything might go wrong at Manchester United, but with Saudi ownership certainly owning Newcastle and possibly Man United, are we going to go down the road again where they'll get looked at if things start to go in that case? It's just not a great position for English football to have this hanging over a team that play so well, that represent the Premier League when they go into Europe. I just think we're going to be a long time before we know, and the shadow's going to stay. And it's a shame, because from a football, and I'm talking purely football point of view,
it's been a joy.
They've raised the bar in English football.
No, I think the current financial fair play kind of limitations, I think the clubs are they're honouring it. I really do. I mean, Newcastle United now would be easy for them to just go and... But they're doing it because they have to build their revenues.
Yeah.
You know, because you've got big revenues to have the income to spend on the salaries and everything else.
Yeah.
And they're trying to busy do that. I think when they came in, the Abu Dhabi guys, they really went for it. And their revenues went... Something I read this morning, Rob. Their revenues went from somewhere like... I don't know what the numbers are. I shouldn't really say the numbers. But like... 10 Small. Times in like 18 months.
Yeah,
just from revenue from Man City, I think it's pre-2009 or something. Their revenues were here. Yeah. Then about 2 or 3 years later, it's kind of not normal for your club to generate. Yeah. And fair play, if their commercial side have done it legally, and this is what we're trying to get to. But there's a lot there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot there. And you know me, Rob, and how I love this team and how it plays.
Yeah.
It's still there for me.
Yeah,
that gets cleared up and they can be exonerated of those charges, then I'm thinking about it.
In a way, Rob, and I know Pep Guardiola, and I'm not sure that the same time, didn't do any interviews after today's game. Now, I don't know if that's because he was, you know, so into his team, so into his staff, but it also could be because he isn't quite happy with... If you're Pep, by the way, Rob, It's got to be affecting you a little bit, because it's like the whisper. Oh, there's Pep. They're City. Yeah, but they cheated. Oh, there's Fernandes.
Yeah, he's probably fed up with it.
Yeah,
because remember he said to him in that interview, he said, I believe them.
Yeah.
They told me.
They told me 100%.
It's lying. That's right. I'm out.
Yeah, he's out. And he's been told. But it's like the whispering campaign, isn't it? Oh, there's that Pep nudge. You remember them? They haven't done it properly. That must affect him a little bit.
Just finalising on that, Rob. If they are found guilty, I mean, can you imagine the consequences of that,
and
of titles
and
other teams being affected?
Liverpool,
but it should be our title,
Arsenal
yeah.
this time around,
right.
and
right.
teams they've got relegated.
I know. So it's an incredibly important investigation.
Yeah.
You know, and fight between the Premier League and the football club. They've just said up there that they're ready to start working on
yeah.
it. So you know, people out there that aren't Man City fans.
Yeah.
It's a thing, and it's a real thing, and it's something that
it's important that we address it, because I think some non-Man City fans think we're avoiding it, and we're not. We're talking as we see it and as we know at this point, and can't talk about anything that's been alleged until it's been proven. Mm. But it's certainly a shadow that hangs over, and you know, as things go on, we'll start to talk about it a little bit more, because I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
No,
if anything, Rob, it's going to get bigger. As soon as the cases get bigger.
Let's turn to the squad, right, and the players, individuals. And, of course, we have great fun all season long with our underappreciated, Rob. And every weekend we try and pick a player that maybe goes under the radar a little bit. Now, this is kind of a bit of a Man City special, so I think it'd be a good time just to go through, just off the top of our heads, really, some of the important players, ones that surprised you, ones that started off poorly and got better. Mm. I guess we could call it our underappreciated for this
City
episode.
Player. Yeah.
City player for this season. And I'll start, Rob, and I'll... Again, it's hard with this City team. They're all loved. They're all respected and admired for what they do. I just think a player that's immensely, immensely important that doesn't get talked about a lot is Rodri.
Yeah.
It's Rodri in the middle of the park, one of the most powerful, reliable, safe, mentally tough, defensive holding midfield players in the world now and for many, many years and decades before. I mean, I just think he's that good. He's got the physicality. He's got the technical ability. He scored great goals this year as well. And he really is the insurance of everybody else going everywhere. Stones coming alongside him. Different midfield players coming around him. He's got track runners. He's got to fill in spots so much. I think he does a brilliant, brilliant job. And I think everybody's pretty much chucked a lot of praise on all the team. But I just think for me, being a played in a similar position as him, I appreciate what... So I think he's a little underappreciated in this team for what they've done this season.
That's a good point. I don't know if you saw, we ran a little trailer that showed some behind the scenes of
the video. Yeah, I saw
that. Did you see him in the middle of the video,
yes,
by the
I did.
Way? Which I thought
did.
Was...
Which, great I, video, I, by the way. Really, that was great little insight into it. Yeah.
But I thought he was powerful. And his leadership, and we've won four, and we've got to go on to win another. I didn't know that was him. You know, you never know personalities. So it's a really good point, Rob, and we talk about underappreciated. I kind of got... I'm going to go twofold on this. I've kind of got three players who are my unassuming assassins. It's Kevin De Bruyne. It's Ilkay Gundogan.
Kevin De Bruyne, he's kind of... He's not as unassuming.
No.
He's a star.
Are these under the radar stars? Let me finish. So,
right.
unassuming in that Kevin De Bruyne, Ilkay Gundogan, Bernardo Silva, right? Could be three insurance men. You look in the face, Kevin De Bruyne is a bit ruddy and looks like he's always out of breath. Bernardo Silva's got this very just open look
on
his
face.
Looks like a school
teacher.
Yeah, like an art teacher.
Right.
And Ilkay Gundogan, say, looks like an insurance man who's coming to get you. Yet, Rob, they are three deadly assassins who will rip your throat out, who will hurt you. I'm not talking about ability and technical and that. They are killers. And he's got three unassuming killers who you look at and you look at Gundogan and think, you said the other day, what's he good at, really? What's his job? Bernardo Silva, the little skinny art teacher.
Brilliant.
Kevin De Bruyne always looks like he's a bit out of breath. His cheeks go red. brilliant footballers who can win games. But, second part, and I've got to go to a guy who didn't have it easy when he first went into Man City. He's probably getting a little bit more love now than time, and people are starting to turn. And it's Jack Grealish, Rob, who I think is living the football dream. I think people are starting to appreciate Jack Grealish because He's a bit of a lad. He tells you exactly as it is. He's transparent. He's honest. He spoke today after the game, Rob, and said last year was one of the lowest times I'd had in football because this thing was too much. He couldn't live up to the expectation and the hype and the thingy. I think he's become a regulator in this team. I think he's become such an important cog in this team. He understands his role in this team. And the other thing I'll say about Jack again today, and you know me looking at stuff, he had a hug, a word for every one of those staff who weren't players. I can imagine he's a massively important part of your football club. And you know, Rob, when you spend 9 months with a team of players, you need a couple of lads who are chemistry, who glue it all together, who make sure everybody's okay. Jack Grealish is one of them.
Well, I'll follow up on that because I think it's a great shout. And I had the same feeling recently as well. And I'm somebody that questioned whether they should buy him. Mm. I questioned whether he was any better than Phil Foden or Riyad Mahrez or different players that could play in his outside spots. I know he's technically very good. Yeah. He had a license to do what he wanted to Aston Villa. Mm. What I would say is, a couple of things, poster boy.
Yeah.
He's a poster boy for Man City. Yeah. They've never really had
Cantona, Beckham.
Like a big Hazard, personality.
Henri, one of them who carries your franchise.
Right. And so that's one thing I think has helped the team.
Yeah,
and also, I like the way that, again, Pep has made him. He's a two-way player, Rob.
The
few times that we've analysed him, making runs back, making...
Yeah, defending.
I think he enjoys that. Yeah. We never saw that at Villa.
No.
We never saw... Well,
he didn't have to
did,
at Villa, did he?
What because he was given the licence to go and do you know, go and do your thing, Jack, and we'll find other players. And that's fair enough, and teams are built differently.
Villa, that was,
But in City team, I think Pep loves the way that he's honest as anything.
Yeah.
And he'll work hard to get the ball back. I think he still needs to work on trying to... I always feel with Jack Wright, Robin, who am I to say, but when he's going that last fullback to take him on, which Pep loves that.
Yeah,
he loves Sterling's ability and to beat the last player. Yeah. Jack still comes inside a lot. Mm. I reckon, right, if he mastered a flipping brilliant step over, he'd beat more players. I just think he lacks that little
He's a bit of a different animal, though. He's about like showing you the ball, moving it, and getting his body across you, and then taking the foul. He's that guy, isn't he?
So he's just not a dribbler.
He's not a take-on guy. No, I don't think he's that guy. I think he does it with his body movement. He's got quick feet over a couple of steps, and then once his shoulders across you, he almost just waits for you and says, "Come on, then. You want to bump me. If not, I'll go past."
He's
you.
A link. He's a. I know he's a link man. He's a 1-2 guy. He's a play and follow.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a little
1-2. But I hear your point.
Another couple of players, Rob, that is similar category, not to Jack Grealish. John Stones. John Stones. I mean, a few years ago, Rob.
Rick.
God, blimey. We talked about the Rick that he had in him.
Yeah.
He had a difficult personal life situation. He went through a really bad part of his life, his personal life.
It almost looked like he was going to be out the team.
He was out the side, Rob. Yeah. He's out the side. And yet, this year he's come back in different roles and he's shown everybody what we always thought from 5 years ago, what a lovely footballer with the size of a centre-back by what we've seen in the middle of the park and the versatility to play a centre-back, a right-back or in the middle of midfield and then do things.
Yeah.
So I think he deserves a mention. And the last one before I throw it back to you, Rob, I don't know if you've got any more, Manuel Akanji. You know, in terms of game changers and versatile and a really good one-on-one defender, again, in different spots, left-back, right-back, centre-back as well. There's been lots of things that have contributed to this remarkable season. Just for this year, I'm trying to just focus on this year.
Yeah.
And some of the players that we've talked about there, I think, we've got to all of them. We've pretty much gone all of them, really.
Yeah.
Bernardo Silva, of course, can play on the right, can play in the middle of the park. De Bruyne with Haaland. We don't need to talk about them too much because that connection, assisting, has been great.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper's really great. Doesn't have to do anything remarkable this season, Edison, but his distribution remains to be great. It's just reasons why City this year have found a way to get it done. And it's 3 on the spin. 4 next year will be a big deal.
Huge.
Then the whole conversation starts again about the best ever and dynasties and everything else that we all like to talk about. So... Yeah,
I think we've tipped our hats to Man City, Pep, and his team. Obviously, we've talked about the charges against them, which is a reality, which is part of the picture, unfortunately, from City's point of view. But, Man City, I just think in terms of what they've done for English football, we've got to show what our gratitude.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dude, let's just move it on, mate, because there was a couple of more stories just this week. Arsenal got beat at Nottingham Forest 1-0 at the City Ground. City Ground was absolutely jumping. Our friend Tyro Awoniyi gets another goal. Gibbs White with another assist.
A little bit underappreciated, Awoniyi.
Yeah.
A little bit underappreciated, he is.
Gibbs White.
Love him.
Underappreciated.
Liking him more and more and more.
Yeah. Growing into a mature player.
Spirit, personal.
And just his reaction after the game, Robbie went to the floor in tears. You can see what it means to him to be a Premier League player. And that's what I want Leicester players to look like, Rob, when things. I don't want to see him. Yeah. Oh, I'll get a move. But let's concentrate a little bit on Arsenal. You know, people were talking about, it was their one chance. They weren't going to win the title now, but it was the one chance to keep it alive. It didn't hand it to Man City without playing. It's about finishing the season in the right way. It's about, for me, Rob, this game and the last two games for Arsenal was about giving me hope next season they can come again. The more I see them, the more I'm losing hope that they are going to be able to come again. Now, I know they're going through it's a tough time. Some players have been broken. Some players are nowhere near their capacity. I thought the manager threw in the system that disarmed the team and didn't really understand it. I've been a little disappointed in Arsenal when they thrill me for so much of the season. And I've loved them and I still love what's been done. But I've just been disappointed in the end. What is it? They've got 8 points from the last 24 points, when Man City have got 24 points from the last 24 available. That's why one wins a title. That's why one's going to finish second.
Same as you, Rob. I'm disappointed. I said it a couple of times on here that don't let it be a blip. Mm. Those draws and stuff that took it away from a little bit and then finish, get back to normal and finish strong. Yeah. Haven't done it.
No.
Haven't done it. And I, you know, run out of steam. It kind of felt like a collapse.
It's
feeling like a collapse. Now, there's reasons for it. Maybe that the same guys have to keep going and going and going and going. They faltered. They fell behind. And now they don't. The last couple of weeks, they believe they can't do it.
Yeah.
I looked at this game and I thought Arsenal have just give up. They've chucked it. They know they can't catch City.
Yeah.
And the mojo's gone from their football. Their front players that were often so bright, even Bukayo Saka was quieter. They've lost their little motivation, which I talk about, Rob, all the time, that takes our performances to nearly 100%. They're back because they're not going for it.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of factors, but it is disappointing. I think Arteta said this is hurtful, painful, didn't he, or something?
We
got a lot of healing to do. But you have got to step back and see where they're going to finish. The nearest challenge is to Man City. Yeah. These young players will learn a lot,
Absolutely.
Rob, have experienced this whole run of what it felt like.
Yeah.
What it felt like to be challenging, to be top of that Premier League title. What it felt like to be tired, to be struggling. What it felt like when the pressure came on and they just lost their way with a couple of players that got injured. And I think exhaustion took over at that point. They haven't been able to rest and rotate. We said that earlier on with Arsenal.
Lack of depth with players who came in.
It's a lack of depth of the squad. It's a lack of depth. You watch today, Man City, Rob, where...
Yeah.
They a lot of periods they outplay Chelsea, and it's this kind of second. We saw the group on the bench.
Yeah,
I also haven't got that, and I don't expect them to go out there and remedy that straight away, but they've got to find some signings that they can rotate like City and still win games comfortably, consistently.
Yeah.
You know, what else do we say about Arsenal, Rob? You know, it's, I mean, they fooled us.
Yeah.
Fooled me.
I think we hoped. I hoped they could go as far as they can, to push City as far as they can, to make City be...
Keep them honest.
Better, yeah, and be honest. And in the end, they haven't. It looks like what City could win it with 10-point gap now, which reflects badly on Arsenal when they're eight clear. It does reflect badly.
I know when
mate,
they're eight clear.
When you're eight clear and where they are. To, you know, this team that we're going for titles have lost to Brighton, got hammered by Brighton, and they just lost to Nottingham Forest, who've just been promoted. That's got to be disappointing.
Yeah, we'll see what they do in the market. There's big talk about Declan Rice.
Yeah, absolutely.
90 odd,
yeah.
100 million, which would be great for them.
Great news for Arsenal fans. They've got a dog.
They've got a what?
They've got a dog. Have you not heard that Arteta bought a club dog for the team this week called Win, a Labrador?
Called Win?
Win. All your problems are solved,
do
my friend.
Favor. What are you going to do? Stroke the head?
Stroke the dog before they go out. And it's going to
win.
Did you not hear that? Yeah, story this week. He came out and he just bought a club dog for the players. So,
but still, I mean, still.
Still a brilliant season.
Still a brilliant season.
Listen, I say that a little bit in humour, but.
Young players have still got room to improve.
Yeah, and they've got to take it on the chin. They've got to take the learnings and show that they, you know, Liverpool dusted themselves down. Liverpool lost by the league by a point. So same kind of disappointment in a different way. Dusted themselves down and came again and took City.
Right. So that was something I read or I heard, and I thought it's a great point.
Yeah.
It doesn't come instantly.
No.
Liverpool had to, you know,
work at it,
get close,
90
get knocked
points,
down,
90
come back
points,
again,
90 odd,
points,
yeah.
and then find a way. So I'm pleased you remember that because that's important.
Mm.
You know, it's hard to and
just go from fifth last year to win it.
Yeah, so they come pretty close. Mm. Let's see what they can do next year.
Yeah.
But they've got young players, young manager, hungry, driven, good recruitment.
Apparently a bit of money to spend as well. I think, you know, the ownership are saying, you know, we like what we'll go for the next stage. Yeah. So that's going to be great for them.
Champions League money is going to be good for them.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Just wrap things up, mate.
Yeah.
There was a game at the London Stadium. There was Big Sam taking his team to David Moyes' West Ham. West Ham, already safe in the Premier League after the results this week, got themselves in the Europa Conference League final. Some are saying not great final. West Ham fans, having not won a trophy since 1980, are looking forward to a great day out in Prague. Massive game for David Moyes and his team. Because of that, Rob, and because of, I say, felt a bit of feel-good around Leeds, a bit of belief in what they're doing.
Improved.
A little bit more structure in terms of what they're doing. I felt, going into game, they can go to West Ham today and win this game.
Mm.
And Sam talked about we're in the position now where we need to win and then give ourselves... Started well, got a great goal from Rodrigo from a long throw. Lovely finish for him.
Great volley, 13
Premier League goals of the season. Started quite well. And then... switched off, went deep. I don't know what happened. West Ham started to get some control, get into Pacator, Bowen. All of a sudden, Declan Rice gets a goal. Second half, they They go back to old Leeds, Rob, in the end, where there was a point where Sam, with about 5 minutes to go, there was a shot of him. He threw out his chewing gum, threw it to the floor.
He started hammering.
Yeah, he was, because all the work and all the effort he's put in, it all reverted back to type.
I just thought it was a massive game today. And like you, I thought this is an opportunity for them. Yeah. I mean, West Ham is such a funny side.
But if you were really at it today against the West Ham, you go 1-0 up. If you go 2-0 up, Rob, West Ham are safe. They got the final. I don't think it would have. And I know Moyes' teams are fighters and another thing. But just human nature, Rob, sometimes you're in a game, you feel the opposition, you think, yeah, they're playing and they're going to try hard, but we really want it today. We get
I think one of the last notes, I put at the end of this game is they lacked desperation.
Yes.
To your point, like they get ahead in the game, and I don't see that blimmin' excitement. This is such a big game today because now it's out of their hands next weekend, and we're going to be in and around UK for this last day, of course. But I just thought they lacked a little bit of desperation. They went back to Leeds prior. To be fair to Sam, Rob, we said just before we started, it's so hard to make that many changes in. What's he had, like 10 days, 2 weeks to make the changes defensively? Because it came back to what they've been all season, which is not good enough.
No, defensively. No.
And then, you know, we could then, and the Leeds fans will start to sort of, when if they do go down, it's going to be like, whose fault is it?
Yeah, yeah.
We could sit here and make a strong argument. You stick with Jesse Marsh.
You might have, yeah.
You might have found a way. Yeah. Some have stuck with their managers. Some haven't, and there's stories on both sides of things here. When people,
I think the Javi Garcia thing is the one that, you know, if you'd gone Sam at that time, that might give him enough time to get some rigour, some routine into this team and some structure. They're a team, Rob, that implode when things aren't going right. Today, there was times it couldn't have been 4-1. Remember the one that, like, you see, it was back to Woodley. Like, West Ham have got three attackers and Leeds have got four defenders behind them running towards their goal again. It was a bit like, really? We've gone back to that.
I've mentioned this a couple of times, Rob, about the signing philosophy.
Yeah.
And there's two teams, and Leeds aren't down yet. Southampton, Leeds United.
Yeah.
That went with a lot of
young,
inexperienced, potential upside, particularly Southampton.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what, we're going to buy players with a big future. Yeah. They'll be good for us. Yeah. We can sell them on. We can make some of them. We might make huge amounts of profit on them.
Yeah.
And it's a gamble.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked for Southampton. And I don't know. I just think some of the strategy, like striker.
Yeah.
The striker.
Yeah.
Patrick Bamford.
And they got Routier on the bench. Didn't even get on the pitch again today. Didn't even get on the pitch, Rob.
So Victor Orta, as well as the owner, will have to take a lot of this. You have a record amount of money you're going to spend on a player, and he's not really fit for purpose.
Well, he doesn't play in a game you have to win.
I know.
And get a goal the second half.
Another young, inexperienced, like Gamble, he's came and he's obviously been training. You'd have to see why he ain't quite ready. That's a big error. That's a big error. And strike is something they've needed for Bamford being out for so long. So some of it, self-inflicted.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see if they can manage to do something crazy. Obviously, you've got to beat Tottenham, haven't they?
I've got to beat Tottenham now and then hope for other things, depending on how Leicester do tomorrow. And then obviously Everton is still in there. But, I mean, win and hope is now where they're going to. When even a point today would have at least given them something, because the goal difference is worse than them.
Yeah,
so it's a case where
worse now, isn't it?
But
Everton could lose the last day.
Yeah,
I don't trust Everton
lose
to win.
And
they can still win, can't they?
They can still get out of trouble. Yeah, Leeds would go to 34 points if Everton.
Unless Leicester do something miraculous.
Leicester got to win the two games.
Right, to jump above two of them.
Yeah. So. No, it's all on, my friend. Yeah. It is all on. Listen, let's wrap it up on a week that Manchester City finished top of the table again. 5 titles in the last 6. 3 in succession. It's pretty much perfection from Pep. We'll be back next Sunday. That's Championship Sunday, when we review the end of the season and discuss which of those 3 big teams we've talked about in relegation trouble will be playing Championship football next season. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. Well done to Manchester City. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him.
Good night.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.